This was Regis Jowance's third visit to Charaith, although both of his earlier trips had been made as an officer in the Royal Carisian Navy, not as the kingdom's first counselor. First counselors, after all, never left home. That was why kingdoms had little things called ambassadors to do the traveling instead, since first counselors were far too busy, and their duties were far too important for them to go herring off on quixotic quests.
"Of course they are," he snorted mentally. "Which is how you happen to be here, isn't it, Regis?"
His lips twitched at the thought, but he suppressed the smile reflex sternly as he followed the Chamberlain down the palace corridor. However accommodating Charlian had been, it would never do to suggest that he saw anything humorous in her agreeing to meet with him, especially in her agreeing to meet with him privately, accompanied only by her own first counselor, and especially not when she'd had less than a 5 days' notice he was coming, given how closely he'd followed on the original messenger's heels.
"Caleb's like his father in a lot of ways, but he has his own inimitable style and far too much energy for an old man like me," Grey Harbor reflected. "I'm beginning to appreciate what Merlin and Dominic had to say about trying to ride herd on him at sea. He's really not anywhere near as impulsive as he sometimes seems, but Merlin's right. Given two possible approaches to any problem, he'll always opt for the more audacious one, and once he's made up his mind, he's not about to waste time, is he?"
There were worse traits a king could have, especially when he was engaged in a battle for survival. But it did make keeping up with him more than a little wearing. The Chamberlain slowed, looked over his shoulder at the Carisian with an expression which had been carefully trained to conceal any trace of what its owner might have thought about his monarch's decisions, and then turned a final bend and stopped. There were two guardsmen, sergeants, in the silver and royal blue of Chisholm, posted in front of the door, and their expressions weren't quite as neutral as the Chamberlain's. They clearly nursed significant reservations about allowing the first counselor of the kingdom whose navy had just smashed a sizable portion of the Chisholmian fleet into firewood into their queen's presence. The fact that they'd been ordered to stay outside the small presence chamber didn't make them any happier, and the fact that they'd been expressly forbidden to search Grey Harbor or relieve him of any weapons made them unhappier still. The Earl was well aware of what they must be feeling. In fact, he sympathized deeply with it, and he made a quick decision.
"Just a moment, please,"
he said, stopping the Chamberlain just before the man knocked on the polished door. The Chamberlain looked surprised, and Grey Harbor smiled crookedly. Then he carefully lifted his dress sword's baldric over his head and passed the sheathed weapon to the nearer of the two guardsmen. The Chisholmian's eyes widened slightly as he accepted it, and then Grey Harbor unhooked his belt dagger and passed it across as well. The guardsman's expressions changed as he voluntarily surrendered the blades they'd been forbidden to take from him. They still didn't look especially cheerful about the entire notion of this meeting, but the senior of them bowed deeply to him, acknowledging his concession.
"Thank you, my lord,"
he said, then straightened and personally knocked on the door.
"Earl Grey Harbor has arrived, Your Majesty," he announced.
"Then by all means let him in, Edward,"
a musical soprano replied, and the guardsman opened the door and stood aside. Grey Harbor stepped past him with a murmured word of thanks and found himself in a paneled presence chamber. There were no windows, but it was brightly lit by hanging lamps, and a fire crackled quietly on a hearth. It wasn't a particularly large fire, especially for one burning in a hearth which could easily have accommodated most of a topsail yard, but its heat was surprisingly welcome. It was technically spring here in Chisholm, but Charaith was over 2,000 miles above the equator, and Grey Harbor's Carisian blood found it distinctly cool.